Praise the Lord. No, our boys are not teeny tiny anymore. I do look up to them. Not quite as tall as Pastor Walker, but they're up there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. During the song that was ministered, I see how timely that song was. As the man was ministering that song, I realized that the message that I'm going to share connects to that song. I believe it, I receive it. Believing and receiving is for whatever material thing. I believe in prosperity, and I'm going to be talking about that. But the Spirit of God said there are a number of people here this morning that you just need to believe and receive that God loves you, that He's forgiven you. Whether you feel like you're forgiven or not, whether you feel like you're righteous or not, whether you feel like anything, say it and believe it and receive it, that I am forgiven because the Bible says I'm forgiven. When I've believed and I've received, I can take that forgiveness. When I ask God to forgive me, I know it's not, let me think about it. How do I feel about that? Should I? Shouldn't I? We know that if we ask, He will forgive us. Believe that. Receive it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Praise you, Lord. No matter how long I've lived in Africa, I've actually lived in Africa longer than I've lived in America now. I spent my 22nd birthday in Africa, and I've lived here. I've been in Africa over 30 years total. Whenever I talk to people, one of the things I just always say, and someone's like, do I have to answer that again? So where are you from? Right? You don't sound like you're from here. Well, okay, I'm from America. Well, where in America? Oh, did you have to ask that? Because, okay, I was born in California. I was raised in Oregon. But I also lived in Colorado and Texas. But I met my wife in Oklahoma, so I have an Oklahoma driver's license. I'm Brazilian, Hungarian, Dutch, French, and English with an American passport, but I'm a permanent resident of Botswana. Is that enough information? I don't know. I don't know. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. But when people ask me where I'm from because of my accent, the way that you talk identifies where you're from. Even we have so many languages. I don't think even if you're from here, you know how many, but I certainly don't know how many languages are just in the borders of Zambia. Botswana, it's quite a few, but not nearly as many as here. And you can tell where someone's from. I've lived in Botswana long enough that I can sort of tell if somebody's from the northeast region of Francistown, where I'm from, or if they're from the south. Some people say, for only, they say Fela. Some say Hela. There's different words they say different. I can tell where somebody's generally from when they try to say my name. Hello, Pastor Buckery. I know. L's are right, some of you, that's all right. There's a lot of sounds I've had a very difficult time saying. I'm just pretending that I'm singing the songs. I don't know how to say them right. But there's certain things that, depending on where you're raised, there's certain sounds and accents and ways that you say things that sound different. Remember in the book of Judges, they were trying to identify the imposters, the intruders, by say Shibboleth. Remember that Judges, I think it's around Judges chapter 4, 5, 6. Say Shibboleth, but if they couldn't say Shibboleth, they'd say Sibboleth. They'd say, you're an imposter. The spirit of faith has a certain way of talking. And I can tell a bit where you're from, and I'm going to not be judgmental or like put you down or chastise you. I'm going to try to help you. But we can kind of tell where you're at by the way that you talk. There's not like a faith meter on my forehead that says faith, doubted. Really, basically the only way you can really tell, God's the only one who can really see your heart. But the external indication of whether you're in faith or not, or how well you've renewed your mind and are acting in faith, is by really primarily by the words that you speak. And if I hear you saying, you heard me say this yesterday, some of you, money is finished. Money is, it's not enough. But it's too expensive. I learned not to tell my children we can't afford that. And you say, well, you can just buy them anything they want. Not right away. But instead of saying we can't afford that, I'd say, let's believe God together for that. Amen. Hallelujah. But we can tell somewhat where you're coming from by the way that you speak. And I want to talk to you today about the power of your words. When I told my wife what I was going to share, she said, kind of not disparagingly or critically, she just said, oh, I bet they've never heard that before. By the way, this is my wife, Kristen Buckley. Can you wave your hand? Woo! And also, let me introduce my friends, Phil and Jill Dietz. Wave your hands. They came along with us from America. First time in Africa. Happened to be at the same time we were going to be here. Said, you want to go to Zambia too? They said, sure, let's go. That's great. Where is Pastor Bornwell and Sylvia Matondo? Oh, right there. Good. Praise. These are our Light of the World pastors in Ndola. Celebrated 1 year there last week. Hallelujah. But we can kind of tell, well, I was saying about my wife. She said, oh, I bet, when I told her what I was going to share, she said, oh, I bet they've never heard that at Miracle Life. I said, they probably have. But here you're going to hear it from your uncle from Botswana, because we're part of the same family, amen. You're going to hear maybe a slightly different perspective. I just believe that regardless of even some of you, we've got instructors here who have taught this. I believe that regardless of where we're at in our understanding, that it'll be fresh, that it won't, maybe, if it's not a new revelation, it'll be a fresh revelation. And if, even if it's already a fresh revelation, you'll be able to look at your heart and say, examine, am I putting this into practice? Hallelujah. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The visible came from the invisible. Now, Pastor Bornwell is a metallurgist. I can't even hardly say that, let alone do that. But he's a metallurgist, a mining engineer. He could talk about this better than I could. But if we were going to talk about what the earth is made of, say, well, there's iron, there's oxygen, magnesium, silicone, all these basic elements. But really, if you look at essentially biblically, what is the world made out of? Words. The words of God. How big is the earth? It's huge. I mean, you get in an airplane and fly for, 14 hours and you still feel like, have I even gone anywhere? The world is huge. And why isn't it even bigger? The sun is 1.3 million times larger than the earth, I'm told. There's some tall mountains around Lusaka, but there's Kilimanjaro, there's Mount Everest. Why didn't he make all of the mountains that big? The ocean is huge, but why did God say, okay, the ocean's going to stop here? The world is framed by the word of God, by God's word. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said, and you read in Genesis chapter 1, everything that he created was created by his words. And our world, our own world, is created by our words. It is framed by our words. I used to do more painting than I do now. I think I could still probably do it, but I just don't do it as much as I used to. But in acrylic and watercolor, different media, I'd usually start with a canvas. And then if I liked it, which usually an artist is his own worst critic, am I right? But if I liked it, I'd say, okay, let's find a frame for this. But the frame that I would get was, judging by what size canvas I'd done and how much I'd painted and how, ambitious I got in my painting, then I'd say, well, then I need to go look for a frame like this. But in the things of faith and our words frame, first of all, our situation. The perimeter, the boundaries, the size, the scope of what we're believing for is framed. I could say it, I don't want it to sound negative, but in a sense limited or framed or defined by our words. By your words, your world is framed. Your words frame your lives. Your words frame your results. Your words will frame your health. Your words will frame your finances. We know a person who's a person of faith will be speaking the word of God. Another person will be saying, my money is a problem. My money is finished. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You won't be saying the money is finished. You'll be saying the money is on its way. When a person is feeling sick, when they're feeling stiff and so forth, they'll be saying, oh, my arthritis is acting up. What was that pronoun, the possessive pronoun you use? My, hold on, wait a second. My arthritis? You own it. Is it? my arthritis. This is my arthritis. Like, this is my laptop, which I forgot yesterday. Oh, my gosh. It worked out. This is my suit. I was going to say this is my pulpit, but it, no, it's not. And I respect that. Hallelujah. This, okay. This is my, but my arthritis? Oh, you know, my rheumatism, my this, my that. No, I don't own it. Jesus took my infirmities. Matthew 8, 17, Isaiah chapter 53. Himself took our infirmities. It's not mine. Oh, I'm just terrible with names. I know none of you have ever said that, but you've heard somebody else say that, right? I'm just terrible with names. We were both just, Pastor Walker and I were just admiring a mutual friend of ours who just is so good with remembering names. But we should avoid saying, I'm terrible with names. And we didn't say that, did we? Okay, good. Maybe we could say we're not quite where he is yet. That'd be all right to say, I think, but yet. But I'm terrible with names. I remember I used to say that, and I just checked them. I need to stop saying I'm terrible with names. Say, thank you, Lord, for helping me to get better at remembering names. Show me ways that I can help me remember people's names. Just a little example. Here's a bigger one, I think. Oh, get around other pastors and be saying, people, they just don't want to hear the gospel. I don't know if sometimes we use that as an excuse. People, they don't want to hear the gospel. Is that what we should be saying? People don't care. People, they just don't want to volunteer. How about this? I don't know. I've been trying to avoid, and there's a proper context to say that, but I'm trying to avoid using that phrase so much. I don't know. What am I supposed to do? I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know. Or God knows. Or who knows? But 1 John says, I have an unction from the Holy One, and I know all things. Everything that I need to know is on the inside of me. And if it hasn't been revealed right this moment, when I need to know it, it's going to be revealed. And God has promised He sent His Holy Ghost to lead me and to guide me. I have the greater one living on the inside of me. And when I have a decision to make, I can expect to have direction. I can expect to know. So I'm trying to get that phrase out of my out of my vocabulary, not using it in the improper way. I don't know. Instead of using our words just to report things, we should be using our words to change things. Hallelujah. Let me just do a brief review here. I know you've been taught about faith before. Well, I don't want to assume that, but many of you have been taught about faith. But a simple definition, not the only definition of faith, would be this one: believing the word of God and acting on it. Believing the word of God and acting on it. And the reason why I want to say that is because faith and believing are not exactly the same thing. They're connected, of course, but believing can exist without an act of faith, because faith is an action. And faith does not actually move from a belief to an act of faith unless there is that action. And James says faith without works is dead. And people really take it, you know, well, that means you're not saved unless you do certain things, and you got to, no, that's not saying you're dead or you're spiritually dead without faith. It says faith without works is dead. In other words, faith is not active. It's not, doesn't become active faith. It's like the different kinds of glues. You mix this epoxy and put this together, and it, you know, now it's something that can do something. It has to be mixed with action in order for it to be faith. There are different kinds of actions that you can do with faith. For example, if you're believing God for a car, you may not have the money in the bank to go buy a car, but you can go get a driver's license, perhaps. Start there. You can build a carport. You can start learning how to drive and getting a driver's license, because faith without a corresponding action is dead. There should be actions that display that you're in faith. Hallelujah. You're believing God for a husband or wife, and you're learning how to behave like a husband or wife. Not just trying to find the one that will please you, but be the one that will please them. Hallelujah. Learning everything. Don't wait until after you're married to learn about these things. If you're believing God for a husband or wife, you're jealous of the couple that was announced. No, you're not. But if you were, You're doing things. You're saving your money for Lobola. What do you call it here? The bride price. You're doing things. There's corresponding actions. But the most primary, basic, fundamental, corresponding action that goes along with faith is saying. It is a corresponding action, a work, if you will. It is something that activates what you believe to cause it to become Bible faith. When you say something, I believe, therefore I have spoken. And your words give power and creative power to what is in your heart. You believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you are saved. Believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth, the two go together. Not just believing, but speaking. Hallelujah. We use our words to report. I'm just saying it like it is. Well, or like the phrase Pastor Walker used, we all say, oh, I'm just saying, right? Well, saying is, and we say that, that's, I'm not, shame on you. No. It's just, but think about just saying. I mean, if you look at that really literally, just saying. Look at it literally, just saying. Saying is important, isn't it? What we say does matter. And there are times when we say, but look, by the way, when we say things, sometimes there's some things we can say in jest and just in fun. And it's not something that you believe in your heart. You're just having fun. We do need to be careful taking that too far, right? But I do believe that there is that power of what you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. That becomes powerful if you really believe that and are saying that. We can use our words to create, not just to report. Instead of saying this is how it is, we can use our words to change the situation. A reporter, today in downtown Lusaka, this and that happened. A weather reporter, today it was cloudy. I know they try to tell you what the weather is going to be like tomorrow, to do their best, but, you know, reporting what the situation is right now, that's the majority of reporting is talking about this is what's happening right now. But we can do more with our words than just report what's happening. We can actually use our words to create a difference. Hallelujah. James chapter 3. And here I get to use one of those phrases I like, whithersoever the governor listed. James chapter 3. This is why I like King James. I don't believe it's the only translation, by the way, but I do like it. I like the way it sounds. James chapter 3, verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, and that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which though they may be great, who are driven by fierce winds, if they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Another way of saying that is steered by a tiny rudder at the direction of the person at the helm. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is a tongue among our members. It defiles the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on the fire of hell. There is destructive power in our words. And we can use this very passage here to talk about the power of our words in our relationships. That'll be another, next time I come, I'll talk about that. But today I want to really focus upon the power of our words in what we're believing for and how it creates change in our world. It can change your social world. It can wreak havoc upon your marriage, upon your friendships and your relationships. But I want us to talk about not especially the destructive power of the tongue, but if the tongue has that much power to be destructive, how much more does it have the power to create? And here's a verse that I'm sure never heard at Miracle Life. Mark 11:23. Okay, you've heard. But some of you say, whoa. Mark chapter 11 and verse 23. Every time you hear a verse that you've heard is familiar to you, don't allow it to become too familiar. The moment that you say, oh, I've heard that before, you probably haven't. Had some steak yesterday, and I didn't say, oh, no, I've had that before. All right, you with me? Mark chapter 11, let this be fresh. Let it be just like a fresh revelation to you. I believe you'll see some things and be aware of some applications of this that you haven't seen before. Mark chapter 11 and verse 23, for verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Notice how many times it says, saith. In King James, saith or says, it's you have what you say. That is not a verse written by Kenneth E. Hagin or Kenneth W. Hagin or Kenneth Copeland or Dr. Frederick K. C. Price or Pastor Walker Schurz or Matthew Buckley. That is the Word of God. That's Jesus himself saying, Jesus said, who said you can have what you say? Jesus said that. Oh, these blab it and grab it, name it and claim it people. What do they say? You can have what you say. What Jesus said exactly, you will have what you say. So many times we're just saying what we have. I have flu, I have arthritis, I have this, I have problems. It's not talking about saying what you have. He's talking about having what you say. You can have what you say. And many times, and I know there are other factors, and sometimes other people make decisions that affect us, and there's other factors involved. It's not the only factor. But there's times we could realize that the things that are happening in my life, one way or the other, are a result of what I've said. Hallelujah. You can have what you say. I think that makes it important to consider what we are saying. Believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So it's not just saying it, but it's believing that you receive it. It's not just believing and it's not just saying. There's a lot of people saying, but they're not believing. And how does faith come? Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If we're saying it, but it's not in our heart and we're not believing it, we need to get into the Word, meditate upon the Word of God, and allow faith to come. And I love that the Bible says faith comes. I don't say it might come, or hopefully it'll come, or it'll just sort of, you know, seep in. It's that faith comes. And I've seen that time and time again when I'm in doubt, when I'm feeling worried, when I'm feeling fearful, when I know that I'm not in faith, and I get into the Word of God, it is so true, faith comes. And how does it come? It comes by hearing. And where does it come from? By hearing what? By hearing the Word of God. So that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Believe that you receive, and you shall have it. Believe that you receive, and you shall have it. When do you have it? Well, when it's in my pocket. When I can see it in my bank account. When I can feel a difference in my body. When I feel forgiven. No. When do you have it? When you believe that you receive, you shall have. Get a hold of that today. When you believe that you receive, you shall have. Not after you see it, not after you feel it, not after you experience it, but the unseen gives birth to the seen. The world was made from things which were not seen. The things which were seen came from the unseen realm. Faith in the heart is not something you can see, but when you speak the word of God, faith creates a new reality. And it may not happen where you in the realm that you can see it right away, but when it truly happens where it matters, where the real transaction happens, is when you believe that you receive, you shall have, and you can confidently say, I believe that I receive it, it's mine, I take it now, whether you have it in your account, whether there's any difference when you look in the mirror, whether you feel any different, whether the doctor confirms it yet. You believe that you receive, that's when it's mine. And you become fully persuaded, that's when it's mine. When I believe that I receive, I shall have. It's mine. It's mine. I have it now, faith is. Not when I feel it, not when I can smell it or hear it or touch it or experience it in my five senses, but I believe that I receive it. That is when it happens. That is when it happens. Hallelujah. I said to our church years ago, I said, just imagine the thing that you're believing God for. And usually the car, the husband, the wife, the this or that. Now, just imagine you just like got a, this is before WhatsApp. You just got a WhatsApp message or indication that it's in your account or someone said it's confirmed something in writing. How would you act? Oh, well, I don't know. I'm just still believing. I'm just hoping and praying and just. When faith has become sight, that's amazing. That's exciting. That's a moment everybody rejoices. But why can't we rejoice the same by faith when we believe that we've received? When I finally come to get to that place where I believe that I received, I should be jumping and shouting and rejoicing the same as if I had experienced it in the natural realm. When you believe that you receive, you shall have. I just remember one years and years ago driving down a freeway in America with my wife. We were new in ministry, and my wife was just sitting there and reading or something, and I was just praying in the Spirit and just meditating on His Word and speaking the Word of God quietly to myself. And I said to Kristen, I said, it's ours. I said, it's ours. And she said, what? I said, that vehicle that we're believing God for. I said, it's ours. And you know what happened? It dropped right out of the sky into the middle of the freeway, and I had to slam on my brakes and avoid, no. But I knew when I had believed, I could tell you the moment, I could have looked at the mile marker or the exit and say, this is the place. I don't remember exactly where it was, but I remember the time I believed that. I said, it's mine. And it was actually, sometimes it takes a little bit longer. God, what's taking you so long? But it was like a matter of weeks before we were driving that vehicle. And it had been a couple years before that. Sometimes we really do need to ask ourselves, and have I believed that I've received? Or am I still in the realm of hope? Is it still something like just a, well, wouldn't it be lovely? Oh, that would be nice. But have I believed that I've received? When you become fully persuaded, when you believe that you receive, you shall have. Say it with me. When I believe that I receive, when I believe that I receive, I shall have. Glory to God. When you believe that you receive. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1. And the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them and round about. And behold, there were many in an open valley, and lo, they were dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, and O Lord God, thou knowest. God knows. Go on down to verse 11. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. I believe there's going to be some things that dry bones represent in your life. Just maybe it's your actual bones. They just... arthritis or whatever we talked about. Just it could be your actual bones, but it could just be any situation. Just your the freshness of your fellowship with God and your worship isn't what it used to be, or your passion or your enthusiasm or your financial situation, your relationships, different things in your life could be look like dry bones. You can look at that situation and just say it just looks hopeless. But he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say. They say. Much of the things they say. Well, you know, they say. I asked my dad one time when I was a little boy, who's they? Because that's an expression. Well, you know, they say. Who's they? Our bones are dried and our hope is lost and cut off for our parts. Therefore. Why? Not in spite of the fact but because the people are saying, things are bad, things are dry, the economy is like this, this epidemic is like that, and this is how it is, and people don't care, they don't want to hear the gospel, and this is just how things are. Because people are prophesying this one other thing, he said, therefore, prophesy. Therefore, you speak. Because of that, not don't stop because other people are saying something contradictory. Because the more that you hear that negative report, the more that you hear people saying everything is dry, everything is lost, our hope is lost, things are bad, that's all the more reason for you to prophesy to that situation. Say, the Bible says this, my God shall supply all of my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter how valuable the kwacha is or the yen is or the pula is, my God will supply all of my needs. All of my needs. It doesn't matter what happens. A man said to Jesse Duplantis, well, what do you think about this economic downturn, this depression? He said, oh, I'm not participating. I love that. Isn't that great? Oh, yeah, no, that one, I'm not, no thank you, like you just offered, you know, would you like a Coke? No thanks. I'm not participating. There's this epidemic going around us. I'm not participating in that. Thank you. Hallelujah. All the more reason for us to be speaking the word of God. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves, cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you. And you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, and have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. All the more, no matter how many people are saying it's like this and this is terrible and just speaking doubt and unbelief. Therefore, say to that situation, people of faith, of the spirit of faith, with the word of God in their hearts, believing in their heart and speaking with their mouth, what thus saith the Lord? God said this, and speaking the word of God and speaking His promises, not just what, well, you know, they say. What does the word of God say? And speaking it all the more. Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. As it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations. Some of you know who that's talking about. Abraham, father of faith. God said, I'll make you a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth, makes alive the dead. And called those things which be not as though they were. When God gave Abram the name Abraham, he was calling those things which are not as though they were. And Abraham went into a new land. He left the Ur of Chaldeas and the land of his fathers and went into that new land. And he was forced to introduce himself as, what's your name? Father of many nations. I might hear your name, you know, the long Lozi Bemba Nyanja name or whatever, and not have any idea what it means. But among yourselves, you might know that means blessed or prosperous or hopefully something positive, you know what, that's the meaning of your name. But they would have known, probably, he's saying, my name is Father of Many Nations. Oh, so I see these are all your children. Well, no, these are my servants, my relatives. And he was called a father, and he had to introduce himself as a father of many nations before he had children, before Ishmael, before Isaac. Hallelujah. Calling those things which are not as though they are. Let me just briefly clarify this, because I kind of had a hard time with this at first. I'm supposed to say that I'm healed? I can see. Is that lying? Pastor told us we're not supposed to lie. The Bible says, you lie, you fry. What's no. Sorry. It's funny how people quote, the Bible says. No. But the Bible has plenty of verses talking about lying. You lie, you fry isn't one of them. Liar, liar, pants on fire is not another one. But we know that lying is not a good thing. So if I'm saying something, this will help you. Faith is calling those things which are not as though they are. So it's not saying those things which are as though they're not. That helped me. So rather than saying, if somebody says, do you have bills? Are you in debt? I mean, are things okay financially? No, I don't have any bills. No, I don't have any overdue payments. No, that actually is lying. If you're saying that I don't have, yeah. But when you can say, you can even say, well, I have this situation, and maybe even depending on who it is and your relationship with them, tell person what the situation is. But beyond that, you don't have to say, I don't have bills. You can say, I'm believing God for this much money. I'm believing God supplies all of my needs. So I'll not only be out of debt, but I'll have an abundance for every good work. And people will say, you look sick. Are you sick? You don't have to say, no, I'm not sick, and just leave it at that. Well, my body's telling me that I've got a flu or whatever the case is, and I have these symptoms, and this is what the doctor said. Doctors are not our enemies. Did you know that? I thank God, doctors. I'm sure there's a lot of doctors here that you're helping us to know how to target our faith. You're helping us to know. I'm believing God for this, and it's not actually even that at all. I can be more specific in my faith and do things in the natural that can be done. Else, maybe I just need to drink more water or have a better, just something simple. I'm doing something wrong than not taking care of my body properly. I can say, I'm believing God for my car to operate, but I'm not putting oil in it or petrol. There's things we can do in the natural course that help our body operate well. But you don't have to say, I'm not sick. You can say, the Word of God says, by His stripes I'm healed. And I'm not waiting to get healed. I'm healed now. And your body will have to come in line when you believe that you receive. But you have it in the unseen realm before you have it in the realm that you see. Sometimes it happens instantly, but not always. In finances, it does not happen. I can almost say it does not happen instantly. It can happen almost instantly. It can happen surprisingly fast. I've actually seen like an answer to prayer, or like I've sown a seed in faith for something and just seen like moments later. But God, because money is not here in this realm, it has to come through different channels. I'll take more time to teach another time. But the manifestation will not happen instantly always, but the having it happens instantly. When you believe that you receive. When you believe that you receive. Did you get that? So faith is calling those things which are not as though they are. Faith is speaking something into existence. It's not brushing something under the carpet. It's not denial. It's not saying, oh, no, that's not, just pretending something isn't there. It's acknowledging. It's not saying, oh, I don't see any giants. No. No, they said there's giants in the land, but we are well able to overcome them. It's not hiding your eyes from the challenge. It's not hiding your eyes from what the doctor said or from what the account balance says. It's looking those things to, David didn't say, I don't see any Goliath. What Goliath? No, by faith there's no Goliath. So I see that Goliath, and glory to God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. But what saith it? What does the word say? The word is nigh. The word is near to thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. The word is with thee in thy mouth and in thy heart, both places, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. Which we preach. Hallelujah. Somebody said, oh, you graduated from that Rhema, Zambia? Is that one of those word of faith? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the word of faith which we preach, right along with the Apostle Paul and hundreds and thousands of others. That is the word of faith which we preach, the word of God in your heart and in your mouth. And the same people will read Romans 10, 9 and 10, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you'll be saved. It's the gospel. Hallelujah. And that same way that you get saved applies to these other things. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Believe it in your heart, and that corresponding action, not just believing it, but saying it with your mouth. God could have just said, I believe there's a nice mountains there, and eventually they're going to call that place Lusaka. I can just see in my heart and believe in my heart that there's some nice rivers and mountains and oceans and people. But God said, let there be light. And there are things that we're waiting to happen in our life. We're just hoping and praying and praying and praying. If I just pray in tongues loud enough and hard enough, it'll happen. I believe in praying in tongues, and sometimes I pray loud. Sometimes I pray long in tongues. But there's a place for praying in tongues and praying loud. There's a prayer of faith that says, it's mine, I have it now. And there's a place for praying, there's a place for speaking something into existence. Have we really said, God, you know how much I need this. God, you know how bad the situation is. Instead of talking to God about how big the problem is and trying, like if I make God feel sorry enough for me, then he'll be obligated to, no. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. But you do have that faith in your heart. Pleases God. Hallelujah. It's there. And if it's not there, it comes. It comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Harness your tongue. Get a hold of realize that your tongue, your mouth has an assignment. And get it working in the right direction and speaking the right things. Use your words for the power of good. God has given you a voice. He has given you a powerful voice. Use it to do more than just report what you see. But use your voice, use your words to change what you see. Use your voice to frame your world. Hallelujah. Things will change when you change what you're saying. There is a corresponding actions, and there's other corresponding actions. You say, I'm believing God for this, but do the natural things and so forth. There's other corresponding actions that God will show you. But let's watch what we say. Our words are powerful. A little helm will change which direction the ship goes. And this tongue is not as big as other muscles, other parts of my body, but it has more power. It's the most powerful part of my body. And God has put creative power in your tongue. God has put creative power in your words. And sometimes we just need to realize the Holy Ghost will show us there's a situation that I need to speak to. There's things that I'll be patient. I love to teach about patience and persistence and so forth. But just being patient, if you haven't done what the Word of God says, there's some things you need to say. Change the way that you're speaking about the situation and watch things happen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. As I said before, the Bible says that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And it shall be that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Some of you may even be familiar with that concept, whether you know that verse, but some of that concept has been promoted to you. Faith without works is dead, so that I got to do something. I got to behave this way. I've got to join this church, and I've got to be faithful in my attendance. It can be all good things. But if I do these things and stop doing those things, then I'll be in right standing with God. But right standing with God is by faith. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And you will be saved. And if I tell you right now that I know I'm saved, I know I'm going to heaven. Somebody said, well, that's kind of arrogant. You think you're better than I am? It's not arrogant, it's because of what the Bible says. It's not arrogant because it's only because of Jesus, by his grace and by his mercy, that I receive the gift of righteousness by faith. Amen. So I really can't take any credit. So therefore I have no grounds for being arrogant. Thankful. Grateful that I know I'm saved. I know I'm heaven bound. I know I'm in right standing with God, whether I feel like it or not. Not because I'm a pastor, not because I'm a good husband or a good father or, law-abiding citizen or a giver, any of those things. That has absolutely no merit, no credit, not even a little bit, towards my right standing. Those things will all be an expression and outworking of my righteousness. Because I'm righteous, I'll do those good things, but those good things don't make me righteous. So how do you know that you're right with God? It's because of what Jesus did. Jesus paid the price. Maybe you've been trying to pay the price, but Jesus paid the price already. In full. But you don't know how bad I've sinned? Well, no, doesn't matter. And on the other hand, well, that's nice, but I think I'm pretty good. I think God would have to accept me just like I am. But the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everybody is in the same legal position until you've received the gift of salvation. Because it doesn't start with an outward thing. Would you close your eyes for a moment? I want you to not... The most important thing that you could know from going from this place is knowing that you're right with God. And I'd like to believe that the majority of people out here are born again. The Bible says, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. I'd like to believe that most people here today are born again. But if there's even one or two, a few people, it is worth us taking our time right now to give you this important invitation. You can go from this place knowing that you are saved. Having that peace in your heart, that assurance, that knowing that you are forgiven, that you are a child of God, that you've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, and you are born again. Jesus said you must be born again. It starts internally. And from there it produces the fruits of righteousness. It produces the kind of life that glorifies God and demonstrates Christ-like character. Hallelujah. Is there anybody here who say, Pastor Buckley, I'd like to know that I'm saved? And thank you for sharing this with me and hopefully making it clear to me how I can know that I'm saved. It doesn't matter if you're a member of this church. I'm sure we can tell you about how to become a member of this church if you want to, but that's not what I'm talking about right now. Whether you're not a member of church or you're a member of another church, that is not the criteria. I'm not asking you to consider whether you should become a member of this church. I think it's a good church and you should consider, but that's not what I'm talking about right now. This personal decision you make between you and the Lord. If you said that, this is speaking to my heart. This is me. I know. I want to know that I'm saved today. Would you raise your hand wherever you are? The rest of you just be praying for them. If wherever you are, if you say, I want to know that I'm saved, pray with me. Lead me in a confession of faith. I want to know that I'm saved. Hello. Someone over here, raise their hand. Praise the Lord. Anyone else, if ushers will help me with the light behind me. Bible says today is the day of salvation and now is the acceptable time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Another one there. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I never heard anybody say, I wish I had waited to become a Christian. I wish I had waited to get saved. Glory to God. If you raised your hand or you should have raised your hand, can I ask you just to just come step up here? Come on up here. Come stand right up here with me. We want to pray with you. Don't be shy. Just come. This is an atmosphere of love and acceptance, not judgment. Just come here. We want to pray with you. Come on up here. Praise the Lord. I look at these two young men here. Is there anybody else? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just thank you. Thank the Lord. For the entrance of His Word brings light. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Free of your praise, Lord. God bless. bless you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's the beginning of a great decision. I want you to say this with me in English. Is it okay for you? All right, say this with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe Jesus died for me and He rose from the dead. Thank you, Jesus. Forgive me of my sin. Say this with me. Forgive me of my sin. Make me a new person. In Jesus' name, I'll never be the same. Because today I'm born again and I'm a child of God. I'm right with God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for these men that have come forward today. I believe this is the beginning of a new life for them. I thank you, Lord, for helping those around here to do everything that we can to help them grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, for great things that have begun this day. They are in Christ. They are forgiven. And yesterday, the old is passed away and the new has come today. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Amen. There's a gentleman right here, Mr. Masonda. We should just go with him for a second. Just go with him for a moment. He just wants to encourage you. God bless you.